want to talk to you under the subject, good conscience. Good conscience. For those who were with us the last time I had the opportunity to preach, we taught and preached and ministered under the subject of managing your mind. This is a companion teaching. If you didn't get that first teaching, you weren't here, certainly see Sister Yvonne. She'll make sure that you get it. If you did get it and you don't remember it, or you don't remember how it ties together, why don't you pick up a CD for a small love gift to the ministry, Managing Your Mind. Today's message, good conscience. In a way of opening comments, I would say this. Man is a tripartite being, body, mind, and spirit. Somebody say body, mind, and spirit. It is the conscience that is embedded in the spirit of a man. And every human being is born with a conscience. Somebody said conscience. Everybody's born with a good conscience. Somebody said good conscience. Conscience functions as a compass to keep us on the straight and narrow, to know good from evil, right from wrong. Every one of us starts with this unique body of ours that's incredibly and wonderfully made by God. And I'm talking about our spirit man, for we have to realize that God is a spirit and we come from God, the great spirit. He had something in mind in this earth that he wanted carried out, and in order for that to happen, each and every one of us were brought into this world. Stay with me. We were predestined for great things from God. And as such, each one of us have unique gifts and abilities. Before we were in our mother's womb, God knew us because we existed before this temporal physical realm as spirit beings. So as part of our makeup as spirit beings, living in a flesh body with a mind, he embedded, great God Almighty, a conscience, a good conscience within us, to know good from evil, to know right from wrong. It is that conscience that we feel on the inside when we find ourselves assaulted by all kinds of things of this world that don't match up with how our divine creator purposed us to be. It is that good conscience on the inside that, prompted by the Holy Spirit, puts a little check on the inside of us when things that are just not right are proposed to us. And we are assaulted in our senses, what we see, what we hear, what we taste, what we touch, what we smell, by things that are not right with God. However, this conscience that is inside of us can only withstand so much negative. Before we find it altered from the way God intended it to be. Stay with me. It is that issue that finds so many people who started out on the right course with a moral compass, if you will, headed in the right direction all over the place, doing things that seemingly should bother them. Scripture makes it clear to us that if we continue to allow our good conscience to be assaulted with all of these negatives, that the ability to differentiate good from evil, right from wrong, will be altered, and we will find ourselves shipwrecked and not even know it. It's quiet in here. Start with a good conscience. Conscience is constantly bombarded with all of these crazy things, and before you know it, your moral compass that keeps you on your way to heaven, doing that which is right, all of a sudden crazy things don't sound so bad anymore. All of a sudden, things that you would have never entertained seem okay. Scripture says it this way: in the last days, good to be spoken of as evil, evil be spoken of as good. That is the direct result of a good conscience that has been over bombarded by negative stimuli to the point where good and evil have switched positions. Let's go to the word, lest you think I made it up. 1 Timothy 1, 18 through 19. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. This is Paul talking to Timothy, giving him good advice. Paul came out of a situation where he purchased all kinds of nonsense and did all kinds of things against the church and persecuted the church. And then he's blinded by the truth. He's a new creature, and he ends up ministering strong truth to people. He's in a discipleship relationship with Timothy. How many people know the scripture says you have not many fathers? A lot of people get their compass all messed up. They get themselves all miscalibrated because they won't submit to sound authority. They won't submit to good teaching. Scripture said they're blown to and fro by wind of doctrine, which keeps them off balance, which continues. People say, I'm going to help you this morning. People say, God knows me. He knows my heart. I ain't got to go to no church and submit to no pastor for me to be okay with God. You're going to fool yourself. This is how people get off track. This is Paul talking to Timothy about a matter that speaks to us in 2013. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. I'm going to stop here. Last time we talked about spiritual warfare being a battle of thoughts. We talked about the mind. We talked about all these things that are bombarding you. And Paul is talking to Timothy about him being able to wage a good warfare. Watch this. Verse 19. Holding faith. Somebody say faith. And a good conscience. Say good conscience. Which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Go ahead and think. Faith and a good conscience don't go hand in hand. You can listen to anything you want to. You can believe anything you want to. You can live your life any way you want to. Paul tells Timothy, if you're going to engage in this great warfare that was prophesied, because the issue is not the prophecy. You're called to do great things for God. Look at somebody and say, you're called to do great things for God. That's not the problem. The problem is not the prophecy. The problem isn't that The prophecy was in error that you were not called to do great things for God because you were. It's not the issue. He says, but if you're going to wage this mighty warfare, if you're going to fulfill that prophecy, then you're going to have to hold on to your faith and have a good conscience. So some people don't buy this, and that has made them shipwrecked. Romans 2:14 through 15. Remember I said to you, everybody comes into this world with a good conscience. Watch this. For when Gentiles who do not have the law, we're talking about that this came to the Jews first, didn't come to the Gentiles, us, until later we were grafted in. But watch what he says. For when Gentiles who do not have the law, talking about the word of God, by nature, I'm going to come back to that word in a minute, do the things in the law. So, well, that's confusing. In a minute. These, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts. Somebody say conscience. Their conscience, also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. That's conscience. This is what he's saying. So everybody comes into this world with a good conscience. Even the Gentiles who haven't studied and received the law, but by nature, I would say by supernatural design by God, they do the things of the law, having not studied the law. Why do they do that? Because the law is written in their hearts, their conscience, which is what? The law of God written in your heart, to know right and wrong, to know good or evil. Their conscience, the law of God written in their heart, either accuses or excuses them based on their conscience. Conscience is what? The law of God written in your heart. What does it do? It either excuses or it accuses you. When you're tempted to do the wrong thing and don't do it because of that internal voice, you're listening to your conscience, which is what? The law of God written into your heart, which does what? It either excuses or accuses you. Your conscience is God's law that keeps us on this path called straight. It's what I would consider general revelation of what is right or wrong. But if we insist on pushing past the limits God has set on our conscience, we will forfeit our ability to know right from wrong. So if everybody's got a good conscience, how we end up with so many problems, how we end up with so many people that start off on the path called straight, who end up messed up, so many people who end up, okay. First thing, we'll talk about a weak conscience, a weak conscience. First, Corinthians 8, 4 through 12, a weak conscience. We're in the New Living Translation. We've talked about this before, and it'll provide a great platform for where we're going. So what about eating meat that has been offered to idols? Well, we all know that an idol is not really a god and that there is only one God. There may be so-called gods both in heaven and on earth, and some people actually worship many gods and many lords. We know that there is only one God, the Father, who created everything, and we live for him. There is only one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom God made everything and through whom we have been given life. However, not all believers, who are we talking about? We're not talking about unsaved people. We're talking about believers Don't miss this. This whole discussion is for believers before you say, I don't know why you're telling me this for. However, not all believers know this. Some are accustomed to thinking, some say thinking, of idols as being real. Who's he talking about? Believers. So when they eat food that has been offered to idols, they think of it as the worship of real gods. He just took a whole bunch of verses to say, we know there's only one God, but some people have an issue with idols. Watch this. We're going to get a running start back on that again. However, not all believers know this. Some are accustomed to thinking of idols as being real. So when they eat food that has been offered to idols, they think of it as worship of real gods. Here's where we've been going. And their weak consciences are violated. It's true that we can't win God's approval by what we eat. We don't lose anything if we don't eat it. And we don't gain anything if we do. So he's saying the issue of this meat is neutral. Or is it? But you must be careful so that your freedom does not cause others with weaker conscience to stumble. Quiet in here. For if others see you with your superior knowledge, meaning back to the beginning of this, you know there's only one God. You know Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father. You know Jesus died for our sins. He's the only true and real God. You know all that. That's superior knowledge for you. But you ain't got a whole background of being raised in idol worship with a whole bunch of family members that was in and out of the temple and doing all kinds of crazy things. And those things have weakened a good conscience. What does that got to do with me? Because you have to be careful that your freedom does not cause others with a weaker conscience to stumble. For if others see you with your superior knowledge eating in the temple of an idol, won't they be encouraged to violate their conscience by eating food that has been offered to an idol? Watch this close out. So because of your superior knowledge, a weak believer, who we talking about? Believers. A weak believer for whom Christ died will be destroyed. And when you sin against other believers, to do this, to take your superior position against somebody who is weak in conscience and cause them to be destroyed or fall, is a sin against other believers by encouraging them to do something they believe is wrong. And the big deal is, when you do that, you're sinning against Christ. I don't have any background in meat sacrificed to idols. I've told you this before. Never been in idol worship. Wasn't in a cult. So, as it relates to meat sacrificed to idols, I just want mine well done with pepper jack cheese on it. But for the sake of somebody else that comes up in idol worship, whose conscience is weakened by those negative experiences, I must be careful with using my superior knowledge, my position, which could destroy them. You say, what's that got to do with me in 2013? Okay, well, take your superior knowledge on meat sacrifice with idols and substitute your position on, alcohol. Hmm? You grew up, no problem with alcohol, no problem in your family with alcohol. Everything's been fine. Everything's lovely. Everything's dandy. I'm only talking about what I've seen happen. Somebody comes along, had trouble in alcohol. Had a family raised in alcohol. Been through all kinds of counseling, 12-step programs, deliverance, ministry, and everything. Got themselves together. Are you listening? And they say, want to go out to dinner. And you say, let's go over to such and such place. And they say, I don't want to go there because they have a bar in the building. Stay with me. And you say, well, you've been through the 12-step program. You've been through deliverance ministry. What's your problem? Let's go. And they would say, if they could verbalize it, because of my experiences, because of my weak conscience in this area, I prefer we go somewhere else. And you know what happens sometime in the household of faith? We keep pushing them and pushing them and pushing them and pushing them and pushing them. Their mind ain't around this. They end up falling. You know what Jesus says? You've sinned against them and you've sinned against Christ. Now, those of us know deliverance, know what God can do for a person, know that whether it's a 12-step program or whether you just come to the altar and get prayed, people can be completely delivered from anything. We need to also acknowledge the fact that the Lord put 1 Corinthians 8:4 and 12 talking about those believers among us with a weak conscience for a reason. That we would not run over this, that we would not push past this with arrogance and cause others to fall. The idol's nothing, right? It's just a block of wood. It's a carved image. It's a piece of precious metal, but it has no power. However, for those with weak conscience, we must be careful that our superior knowledge doesn't destroy fellow believers. Essentially, Paul says stronger believers, instead of taking an individualistic view about this issue, need to take a body of Christ or a holistic view of it. Many decisions we make are not just important to us and our relationship with God individually, they're important to our brothers and sisters. So when somebody says I got delivered from dope and I'm moving out of the neighborhood I used to live in, they don't really need a whole lot of platitudes and nonsense from you about why they should be able to show that they have good faith and stay right there in the neighborhood where they have relationships with people just like those who went to the temple to worship idols that are all centered around drug abuse, that are all centered around illegal and illicit behavior. They want to move because they know their conscience is weak. Some of them don't know they need to move. Some of them being offered opportunities to move. And if they don't watch it, the weak conscience will be moving to the next level. Talk about a defiled conscience. Conscience goes from being weak to being defiled. Titus 1, 13 through 15. I won't be much longer. This is Paul again. Now he's not talking to Timothy. Now he's talking to Titus. Another one he set up over the church. That's good advice. Never heard this preached. Paul told Timothy this. Paul is now telling Titus the same thing. Watch this. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables. How do you go from weak to defiled? Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and their conscience are defiled. 1 Timothy 1, 3 through 4. Watch this. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus, Paul talking to Timothy, so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer, or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculation, or another way to look at it is all they do is create endless questions or human reasoning rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. How do you go from weak to being defiled? We're defiled by false doctrine. We're defiled by fables and myths. We're defiled by the commandments of men. Go from a weak conscience to a defiled conscience to a seared conscience. How you get from a good conscience to a mess? Go from weakness to being defiled to seared. Watch this. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. I'm almost finished. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So I don't get it. How do people go from having a God conscience that says what is good, what is evil, being on the straight path, to being lost? How do people just live their life? I turn on the TV and people are selling their kids for dope. People selling their bodies for dope. How do you get there? Yeah, well, before you judge too harshly, you go from weakness to being defiled to having your conscience seared. As I was preparing for this at work, I had somebody say, man, I was there and only by God am I back. Just anything sound good once you get here. Now the Spirit speaking expressively that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Romans 1:28 says, and even as they did not retain God in their knowledge, did not retain God in their conscience, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Having your conscience seared with a hot iron makes you spiritually insensitive. Person with a seared conscience and a reprobate mind can practice delusion without concern. They don't just do stupid things. They do them as if they're doing the right thing. You say, brothers and sisters, what can we do about making sure that we don't fall prey to this? Well, we must acknowledge that we are God's people, the sheep of his pasture. We've been uniquely and divinely created to carry out God's purpose in the world. He's given each and every one of us unique gifts and abilities so that we can do his work in this land. But we cannot lose sight of the fact that we are spiritual beings coming from God, who is the great Spirit. And that as spirit beings, he created us with a moral compass on the inside called a good conscience. We have to understand that it is that conscience that is constantly, by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, keeping us in check when people come up with dumb ideas. You're watching the TV and they tell you that there are many paths to God. You get a check in your spirit and your conscience says that Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. He is the only doorway to the Father. It is through your conscience that you realize that that's foolishness and you move back to what is right. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden and told not to mess with a certain tree and found themselves in disobedience, it was their God conscience that let them know that they were in sin. It let them know that they were wrong. And it is that same good God conscience that keeps us away from ideas that don't make sense. Can I share something with you? You don't need a prayer partner to confirm that ideas are foolishness. You don't need to come to the house of God and get involved in a 30-page dissertation as to whether Hinduism, Shintoism, and Muhammad are all the same as Jesus. There is something on the inside that rises up and says, that just don't sound right to me. And it is that good God conscience that keeps us from doing so many things going wrong. But I got news for you. Some of us find ourselves in tempting situations, and before you know it, weakness has come into our conscience because of the experiences we've allowed ourselves to endure. But God would say, I can restore to you what the cankerworm and what the locusts have taken from you. You can get yourself back into calibration with the things of God. How do you do that? Come to Bible study. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, but can rightly divide the word of truth. A little less Oprah, a little less Dr. Phil, a little less Judge Judy, and a whole lot more of the word of God. You say you want to make sure your conscience is on the straight and narrow, then open up the word of God. Joshua 1:8 would say, study to show yourself approved. Meditate on the word of God day and night, that you may be able to do all that's contained within that book, because then you will make good success in your life. You'll make success by meditating over the word of God, not by studying the opinions of men. We need a little less cable, a little less fable, a little less myths, and more of the word of God, because it is his word that I live, I move, and I have my being. It is because of his word that I stand today, sure of what is right, sure of what is wrong. It is his word that is for reproof. It is for correction. It is good for instruction. We need less news. We need less of Fox News. We need less CNN. We need less cable and more of the word of God. We need more Bible study. We need more Sunday morning service. We need more Sunday night so we can get our conscience right. You believe it? Clap your hands. Maybe you never lost your way. Maybe you never lost your way. Maybe you need to talk to some people who have. Why do you think crack dealers let crackheads stay in a crack house? They're working on your conscience. Why do you think potheads ride around in the same raggedy car smoking pot all day? Maybe you never smoked pot. I have neither, but I know some potheads. They ride in the same car all day. I'll smoke all mine up, and then I'll smoke yours up, and then we'll smoke hers up, and then we'll pick somebody else up with some more dope. We'll smoke that up too. Because it keeps you isolated. It works on your conscience. Because everybody in that car thinks it's a great idea. And a person in that car that don't think it's a great idea. Go to a crack house. Everybody in the crack house think it's a great idea. That's how they can stay there all day and all night. Smoking crack. I don't want to upset the card on our great casino on the west side, but that's why they don't put any windows in there. That's why they don't put any clocks in there. Everybody in there wants you to lose time, and they're going to work on your conscience all day. But unless you know somebody who's thrown away their rent money, thrown away their house money, lost their house, you don't know what this is all about. You don't know how your conscience is under attack. They're not going to raise their hand and tell you. People in this church with gambling addictions, throwing, come on, daddy need a new pair of shoes. Come on. Bet after bet. You say, but wait a minute. They got a good conscience. They go to the house of God, but the conscience is under attack. It's a weakness. The people they go there with say, you're fine. It's okay. They keep telling you everything will be fine. No, it's not meat sacrificed to idols, but it's marijuana. It's crack. It's gambling. It's alcohol. All of these things become, as the scripture describes, footholds where the adversary is looking for a way in so he can alter your conscience. So that eventually you lose the ability to know right from wrong. Because anybody who knew what to do would never do it. Talk to some people with addiction. You say, well, they seem so reasonable. Except where it's concerning that dope. It's not all illegal dope either. We got some people on all kinds of pills and things. With no control, because their conscience has been weakened. This is the way in for the adversary. He's working on them, trying to keep them off balance with his end goal of what? For you to lose all seared conscience, for you to lose all complete reasoning over right and wrong. Then he got you, then you lost. Why don't you stand on your feet? You got to feed your good conscience. Less of the news, less of Dr. Phil, less Oprah, less Judge Judy, less opinions of your good friend from down the street, more the Word of God, more Bible study, more Sunday morning, more Sunday night. Listen, God.